X2237.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
We're now unsuspended and ready to go with Gene and Chris in the Paracast, our guest Arnie Sixkiller Clark. And Chris was busy explaining that, you know, we sometimes take a more skeptical approach of events than other shows. Chris?
Yeah, and I can appreciate that you're going to be getting a little bit of flack from folks out there because there's not one person on the record. There's no mention of any sort of corroborating information, photographs, recordings, any sort of indication other than a few, you know, being shown physical trace evidence, which I think is important, especially Leland's case. That's very fascinating, that particular event. But you cultivated relationships with many of these witnesses. And were you able to kind of see a progression where a person would open up more and more and tell you more and more details? Did anyone ever offer to show you photographs, or did anyone offer to take you to locations? You mentioned at the top of the show a location that you were taken to. Explain how the relationship side that you sort of garnered with some of these witnesses, how it grew and how it was nurtured. Over the years, because you did get to know some of these individuals quite well over the years.
Well, because, you know, within the culture, you know, out of respect, you just don't go to a person and get their story and then forget that they ever existed. I mean, it's you know, I always would go back and see them. I would take them presents. I would stop in for a visit and have coffee with them. That's just a matter of respect. That's part of the culture. And I did. I grew to love some of them. In fact, some of the elders really made an enormous impression on my life. There was never any question to me but what they were telling me the truth. And I over the years, some of the people I knew for a very long time before they ever told me their story. A lot of it just comes from the fact that they had worked with me, they watched me, they believed I wasn't going to exploit the situation or to exploit them or their tribe. In fact, you know, if you read the book, you'll see that part of the proceeds go toward American Indian scholarships at Montana State University. I was just saying that, you know, a part of the culture is that too, that you give back. At least from my money that I would make from this book, which isn't considerable, but a percentage will go to American Indian scholarships because I want to give back to those who gave so freely to me of their time and of their stories so that, you know, future generations have an opportunity. Because I had, before I retired at Montana State University, I had established a scholarship that would go on in perpetuity. And once it had, I had paid in $25,000, and it became, they started awarding the scholarships, and I keep donating to that fund from my writings and my work now.
I have some other questions from our forum posters, and Jimmy H is having a hard time wrapping his head around your book and the subject matter. And, you know, he does ask some very pointed questions here. One of them is, would the star people be interested in revealing themselves publicly? Do you have any indication of that? And, or perhaps leave behind objects which might convince skeptics of their existence? Out of all the stories, I don't really see much mention of any sort of disclosure by these entities disclosing, you know, slam dunk evidence of their actual existence and interest in our cultures. Do you want to address that?
Well, I think it goes back to what some of the interviewees said, is that there is a law in the universe of non-interference in other cultures of other planets. And I've read so much of this literature where, that the Earth is going to be destroyed and UFOs are going to come and pick up a select few and spirit them away, or that they're going to come and save the Earth. I never got any of that kind of information from the people I interviewed. There was absolutely none of that. It was that they come here, they collect data, they land in places where they hope they will be unseen and can leave the same way, and that, but there are people or entities that break the law and do interfere, and I suspect they're referring to abductions or mutilations of animals or whatever.
Let me ask you, though, Artie, I hate to interrupt. This non-interference policy, is this something they present to people who contact them, or something that is assumed? And I'm not talking about the Star Trek non-interference policy here.
It was something that was told to them.
Okay, so they tell people, we're not here to interfere, but by communicating with them, they're interfering, aren't they?
Well, but they did. They came upon these entities by accident, or the entities came upon them by accident. And when they were questioned by the people I interviewed of, what are you doing here? Why are you here? And many of the responses were they weren't supposed to be seen. They were not meant to interfere in the life of anybody. So it was an accidental meeting.
In which case, of course, they basically totally turned around that person's life by the encounter. But also,
well,
you
I'm
think
not
here.
Sure of that. I mean,
but wouldn't you think though? But wouldn't you think here? I'm just speculating here. We have an advanced race, or many advanced races coming here from other planets and other star systems, and certainly prospect that is fairly obvious now because we're discovering more and more potential Earth-like planets in the universe. So this is certainly a realistic possibility to consider, even by skeptics. Okay, so knowing that there's always the risk that the local populace is going to come upon them by mistake, wouldn't they have a contingency plan, some kind of neuralizer or something to wipe out the memories, to hypnotize people so they don't interfere, so the people do not remember this encounter? That's what I always wonder about.
Well, I think that's been a common theme in UFO literature. But I'm writing about people who have never been hypnotized, people who are not channeling aliens, people who are not in a dream state. I'm writing about people who have full recall of what occurred.
Okay, but I'm saying that, in saying that, I think maybe you're missing my point. In saying that, if they have, as they claim, a policy of non-interference, knowing also that their presence in and of itself, where they communicate with somebody because of an accidental encounter, is itself some sort of interference, wouldn't they have a contingency plan? It just seems strange.
Well,
it seems to me like they're talking. I would think they're talking through their hat if they're saying there's a non-interference plan and then they interfere.
Well, maybe so. I mean, that was not the feeling that I got. I mean, the people I interviewed were not traumatized. They were not having nightmares. They were, I guess, for me, if their presence had changed my life dramatically, I would consider that interference. Have your encounters, one of you said you had several encounters, have they changed your life significantly beyond the belief that they do exist?
Okay, Chris, I'm sure we'll have his answers to how that influenced his life. I know my life was changed when I read a UFO book on a coffee table at my late brother's home, but that's another story. On the other hand, did finding that book and reading that book change my life? Well, you can sure bet it did. I mean, look what I do every week and look at the show that you're listening to. That's all an outgrowth of what happened when I was 11 years old. Artie Six Killer Clark joining Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast. a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and Freudian phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to MrUFO@webtv.net. That's MrUFO@webtv.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
Hi, this is Peter Kronschammel from Midas Resources. As you know, federal government spending is at an all-time high, and inflation will be a direct result of the spending policy. European government and central bank spending policies have put the European Union on the brink of collapse. What are you doing right now to protect yourself financially? Are your assets working for you or against you? One thing is certain. Having physical possession of gold and silver will guarantee that no matter what happens to our economy or the dollar, your investment will never be worthless. And it will protect you from that hidden tax, inflation. If you've been thinking about investing in physical possession of precious metals or having an IRA in precious metals, I can help. Call me today, Peter Kronschnabel at 800-686-2237, extension 108. And I'll take the time to personally put together a portfolio designed to protect what you've worked so hard for. Call 800-686-2237. Extension 108. You've worked hard your whole life, and I want to work hard for you. Call Peter at 800-686-2237, extension 108.
Your freedoms are on the line. The Second Amendment is in danger. How soon before your freedoms are taken away? What can you not live without? What is your greatest dependency? Is it your guns? Is it your home? No, it's food. It all boils down to the food supply. Tyrannical governments control people by controlling their food supply. Don't be dependent. Be self-sufficient. Don't wait for the government to feed you. Feed yourself. I can warn you, but I can't feed you. Do like Alex has done and get a supply of food from eFoods Direct. It's the best long term storable food on the planet. Get the popular Mega Patriot Pack free, a 24-day supply of food plus stove, cook pot, and fuel. Call 800-250-1857 or go to efoodsdirect.com/Alex and get up to 20 Mega Patriot Packs free with purchase. Build your food supply, be in control, be self-sufficient, and be a patriot. Call 800-250-1857 or efoodsdirect.com/Alex and get your free Patriot Pack today.
Healthy soils grow healthy plants. So before you plant your survival garden this year, is your soil healthy? Maximize your crisis garden soil with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 organic soil conditioner, fertilizer amendment, and compost accelerant provides healthier gardens and faster, efficient garden composting. EM1 from Terraganics.com quickly improves soil structure by increasing nutrient availability and converting organic matter into soil humus. This improves seed germination and root growth, improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, nutrient value of fruits and vegetables, and improves shelf life. And when rain is not in the forecast, no worries. EM1 improves moisture retention in soils, helping reduce drought stress. Just like you prepare all else, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yield with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at Terraganics.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
The question already posed on the table, and we're talking about here, potential possible interference by beings who claim they're here, but not interfering. With our guest, Artie Six Killer Clark, and she asked Chris O'Brien, who's had unusual encounters, how it changed his life. Chris?
Encounter, in terms of conscious recollection, I've only had one encounter to my knowledge, and that was when I was 7 years old. I was not communicated with. These beings seemed to be really curious, even though I didn't get any sort of emotional sense from them. But the fact that they were following me around my neighborhood at 3 in the morning indicated to me, even as a 7-year-old, that there was some sort of interest there. But one thing that's always puzzled me, for almost 50 years now, that these beings never attempted to communicate to me. And when I attempted to communicate to them, it was like I was talking to a blank wall. So, again, this gets into an area of psychology and of screen memories, and it gets really complicated. And I think oftentimes when people have unusual experiences of this nature, there's a certain element that may be at play here that is not apparent in the conscious recollection of the event. So it's kind of a hallway with a quicksand floor. You really don't know if you're dealing with the real thing, if you're dealing with something that's being projected into the experience and you're reacting to that. There are no real givens in the situation other than the fact that a very highly unusual event is taking place. So, I'm not really sure, Gene, how to respond to that. In my one case, personally, I was not communicated with. And it still to this day kind of bothers me because, boy, why would they show up and let their presence be known and then just look at me like blank slates? It doesn't make any sense to me. I've been wondering, too, and this is another going back to a question from Jimmy H., who's one of our more recent members of the forum here at the Paracast. When it comes to spiritual matters, Artie, is it perhaps wrong to understand these stories literally? In other words, when it comes to so-called lizard people, are we really supposed to understand that literally or as some sort of spiritual archetype or some sort of collective symbol in our unconscious, as he puts it, a la Jungerian psychology? What do you think? Do you think these stories should be accepted at face value literally, or do you think that we're being slowly maybe programmed with some sort of screen images? Do you think these events are literal?
I do. I didn't encounter people who had experiences with lizard people. I encountered people that talked about insect-like bodies and forms, although they would be, two legs and two arms. But yes, I take them literally. I don't. I've been writing my stories about the Maya. And I traveled among the Maya from Belize all the way through Honduras, Guatemala, and Mexico. And most of the stories that I heard, one was extremely interesting from this elder Maya man who told me, well, first I heard this story about these giants that lived in the jungle. I was sitting with this elder, and I asked him about these giants. I said, are they still in the jungle? And he says, oh, yes. And he gave me the Maya word for these creatures, and he said, they're hairy. And he believed, and he said, and we can hear them cry at night. And he says, sometimes they come into the village, and they steal our women. And then he told me, but he says, when it really gets bad, is when these things come from the sky and they land and they hunt these creatures, and they scream and they cry as they're chasing them through the jungle. And he said that on those nights, everybody stays inside. Nobody goes out.
Which part of the Maya world was this elder in? In other words, was he in Honduras?
Guatemala.
Okay.
Guatemala.
So it sounds like Predator.
He was really an interesting man, He had, in fact, he saved me from a poisonous snake. And I heard a number of stories about different creatures when I traveled. What I had set out to do originally when I was a teenager, I had read these books by two 19th century explorers, John Stevens and Frederick Catherwood, who were basically the first white men who had ever really documented the Maya civilization. And they traveled, made two different trips, starting out in what is now Honduras, and they traveled through Central America and up into Mexico looking for these ancient cities. Well, I wanted to do that all my life. I wanted to follow in their footsteps and see how life had changed. But then, you know, Von Daniken and some of those books started coming out where they were saying that Pacquiao was a polling day astronaut and all this kind of stuff. And so I got very interested in what were the stories of the people that lived, the Maya people, and were their stories? And where could he come up with this kind of thing? And so I decided that along with following in the footsteps of Stevens and Catherwood, I was going to find out for myself if there was any substance to these stories. And it was a fascinating, fascinating 4 years I spent trekking along and listening to stories that were really quite remarkable. And that will be the topic of my next book.
Wow, and interesting.
Again, I won't have any evidence, scientific evidence. I just will have the stories as they were told to me. But this man believed that these creatures, these hairy, Bigfoot-like creatures, were actually brought to the jungle by the men from the stars, and that they came back to check on them.
Wow, that's an interesting twist. We yep. just had on our last show Stan Gordon, who has spent the last 50 years investigating hard-boiled scientific investigation as in the field as possible of unusual events that occur in Pennsylvania. And some of his most compelling cases over the decades has been cases of Bigfoot seen in conjunction with lighted craft. And,
yeah, well, I didn't know that, but that's what he told me. I was really, he went into quite a bit of detail about what happened and the fear of the people and how people would not venture out into the jungle at night for fear that these creatures from the stars would come back, and he said that they always would howl and cry.
We got to do the break here, and we'll continue with the howling and crying. We'll have more howling and crying and lots more to come with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light Systems system today, complete with two Black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
It's an MRE smorgasbord at LongLifeFood.com. In 1983, Long Life Food Depot was one of the first to sell MRE pouches to the public, and we're still selling them almost 30 years later. Today, Long Life Food Depot has the world's most complete MRE online buffet, because MREs are all we do. Tasty varieties of chicken, beef, salmon, and pasta entrees, plus sandwiches and our easy-to-use pouches. Full moisture, long shelf life, and ready to eat hot or cold. We sell by the pouch or case, so the choices are endless, and so are the graduated quantity discounts. The more you buy, the more you save. Call 800-601-2833 or go to longlifefood.com to join our email list for upcoming announcements like the Rollaway Food Pod. Plus, enjoy fast and free shipping. Just call 800-601-2833 or visit longlifefood.com. Emergency preparedness, emergency relief. Longlifefood.com since 1983, sending real food to your real future.
Are you or someone you love struggling with stress, anxiety, or less than perfect health? Hi, this is Pastor Jenny, and as a woman of faith, I spent many years in ministry burdened with anxiety and fear. But in 2010, I met Dr. Carolyn Dean, and I took her recommendation to try RNA drops. Within days of taking RNA drops, my anxiety began to lift. My joy was restored, and the peace of mind that I would have once called a miracle has now become normal to me. Discover what RNA drops can do for you. Order your free sample today at www.rnafreesample.com. That's rnafreesample.com. There you can order a free 30-day trial size bottle of RNA drops by paying just shipping and handling. That's www.rnafreesample.com. Maybe there's a miracle waiting there for you.
Hi, this is Nick Pope. You're listening to the Paracast.
That is not howling and crying, but, you know, Chris has a different way of looking at things.
So. Well, that brings up a very interesting question here, Artie.
I know you've traveled among the Maya.
As November. But this brings me up to a point that I kind of tried to raise earlier, and that is the ultra-terrestrial or the crypto-terrestrial. You know, most people that are into Bigfoot and trying to document the existence of Bigfoot, I think 99% of them consider them to be terrestrial creatures that somehow evolved alongside humanity here on this planet. And you're suggesting this Mayan elder is saying, or this Mayan elder is suggesting that these creatures were introduced here from somewhere else. Now, this brings up a very interesting sort of a conflict in viewpoints here. Out of the 900 witnesses that you talked to, did anyone talk about Bigfoot? Did anyone talk about creatures that have always existed here that maybe evolved into some sort of intelligent species? Could we possibly be dealing with something that is very terrestrial, even more terrestrial than we are?
Well, you know, I did not interview anyone in the United States or Alaska or Hawaii who spoke of Bigfoot. But then I wasn't on reservations where Bigfoot has been reported, you know, like up in the northwestern part of the United States or in Canada, where you hear more of those stories.
Bigfoot's been reported on the Navajo Res. It's been reported on the various Sioux reservations. Bigfoot's been reported in 48.
I have no knowledge of that. All I know is none of the people that I talked to, except when I got down into the Maya country, did I hear about Bigfoot.
And this is the first time I've ever heard Bigfoot mentioned from the jungle.
Well, and they said, he told me, he might be like See, this elder had been in the spent some of his early youth in the United States, and he said it would be similar to maybe your Bigfoot, but he said this one is long, hairy. He has long hair. And he made a big.
Well, Bigfoot are often described that way. The only hairy paranormal type beings that I've heard of from the Mayan world are the Alexis, the small dwarfs. At Uxmal, the legend is that the small hairy dwarves actually built the Temple of the Magician overnight.
Right.
In one single night.
Uxmal. Yeah,
correct.
I'm very familiar with that too. And if you travel throughout Maya country, you'll find these little tiny doors in some of the temples. And the people will tell you that that's for the Aleutians, because that's where they come and go. I'm very familiar with them. But this
they're
is
small and hairy. You're talking about hairy giants. I've never heard.
Right.
I'm racking my brain to try to recall if I've ever heard of a Bigfoot type creature being reported, or even legends of them in the Central American and Southern Mexican jungles. I can't, now that I'm thinking about it, I'm scratching my head going, well, how come I haven't heard of these types of creatures? And yet here we have an elder who talks about them being introduced by, you know, quote unquote, star people, I think, for lack of a better term. And that they actually check on them, and they moan and groan and howl in the from being chased through the jungle by UFOs. This is pretty compelling stuff. I'd love to.
Well, what I'll do, Chris, is I have the name he gave me of what they call them, and I'll send that to you.
I would really that because I want to dovetail
it's
this.
It's a Mayan word.
It's a term, sort of a tag that they
get. What they call them, right?
Yeah, I'd love to get that, because I can help you with a little bit of research. I have a pretty good network of sources of open-minded scientists and others down in that part of the world. I would really love to do a little bit more digging on this. This is really fascinating.
Well, it was fascinating to me because I had been told by my driver as we were we were traveling this mountain road in the jungle, and we were headed for Mexico. And he said, he began telling me these stories about these giants that once lived in the jungle. And he said, and they had white jaguars as their companions. Well, I've never heard of a white jaguar. so he began telling me, that how unlucky it was if you ever saw one. And he said, and they found bones of these giants. And I said, well, are you sure they weren't mastodon bones? Because I know that mastodons were supposed to have lived in this part of Guatemala. And he said, there's a French archaeologist over the hill there, he says, who says that that's what they are, but he says the people know differently. And that's what got me interested. Huh?
Yeah, it's interesting that you should bring up giants, because we have a pretty interesting body of evidence that goes back into even the late 18th century and early 19th century about giants that supposedly co-inhabited North America with Indian populations. So, of course, the red-haired giants found in the Mojave, some of the mounds in the Ohio River Valley area supposedly contained, some sort of remains of beings that were 8 and even taller feet tall. In your research of Native American, or rather American Indian traditions, what do the Indians say about a race of giants that may have lived here in ancient times?
I came across a couple of stories about red-headed giants that lived in the Southwest, and they lived in caves. And the Indian tribe finally succeeded in killing all of them. And that is a part of their historical record that they were telling me that this occurred. I heard one other legend that was told about a tribe. They said, in the old days we lived in Mexico and we crossed the Great River. And when we crossed the Great River, there was a tribe of giants, and they ate people. And we had to be very careful to get by these people. And to get into what is now the United States. So I did run onto a few of those, but I did run onto it in Central America and Mexico. Stories of giants. I mean, this was an old story that this driver was telling me.
Yeah.
About giants and these white jaguars.
I meant to mention this before and ask you about this before, but you have a doctorate in what, educational, what is your doctorate in?
Leadership.
Educational leadership. What was your dissertation on? I meant to ask you this before. What was your doctoral dissertation subject?
My doctoral dissertation looked at the size of school and whether once the size of school determined whether a student would graduate from university in 4 years.
We'll get into much more of these discussions in our final segment with Arnie Sixkiller Clark. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
If you want to get your website online and you need reliable service, first-class service at the lowest possible price, there's only one place to go. Well, DreamHost has a special promotion with our show where they'll offer you unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click web apps such as WordPress, 24/7 support. You can save over $55. You want to know how? Go to DreamHost.com/radio, DreamHost.com/radio. Whether it's personal mail, whether it's business email, you want reliable, dependable delivery, freedom from spam, freedom from viruses. Well, Polaris Mail offers professional email hosting services for your personal or small business use. Each account uses 25 gigabytes of storage, an easy-to-use webmail interface, and full mobile sync. Sign up today for a 30-day free trial at PolarisMail.com, PolarisMail.com.
Is this the year you finally get serious about your family's drinking water? If so, keep listening for a special offer from Big Berkey Water Filters. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water is fluoridated? Berkey Water Filters distinguish themselves from many other filtration systems with the capability to significantly reduce dangerous chlorine, fluoride, arsenic, and disinfection byproducts from municipal water via the Black Berkey and PF line of filters. Then there's affordability. At only 1.7 cents per gallon, Berkey Water Filters purify treated and untreated water, even stagnant pond water. Stop and think how much money you could save by simply reducing buying bottled water and using water filtered by your Berkey water filter. No need to be constantly replacing expensive filters with a Berkey. A single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. Choose the best size Berkey for your needs at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And right now, all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Just call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Or visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Free shipping on every order over $50. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Preparedness is simple when you have the right stuff.
And with the looming threat of economic collapse and possible service interruption, it's time to get the best-in-class preparedness stuff at DisasterStuff.com. DisasterStuff.com has been serving smart preppers for over 15 years with quality products like Berkey water filters. DisasterStuff.com is the official Berkey in-stock shipping center. And as always, free shipping on all Berkey products. Stock up on water barrels and accessories. Get Country Living or Wonder Mill grain mills, Excalibur food dehydrators, Hatler reusable canning lids, Sun Oven solar cookers, EMP bags to protect sensitive electronics, and don't be without your LifeStraw personal water filter, all from DisasterStuff.com. Preparedness is simple with the right stuff from DisasterStuff.com. Freedom through self-reliance and personal responsibility.
Alex Jones here with a message that could revolutionize health in this country. Going back about a year and a half ago, I began to learn about the incredible health effects of longevity products. Aaron Dykes lost 92 pounds. We're going to show you some before and afters. Aaron, break down what happened, your story.
I've worked really hard with diet and exercise to try to lose weight, but I just didn't get the results. It just didn't happen. Then I saw what you were doing with InfoWarsTeam.com. I wasn't even trying to lose weight, but I got it because I wanted to feel better energy. I wanted that nutrition. Didn't even understand how that could kickstart my own weight loss goals, but the products did that for me. I found myself suddenly losing weight, more energetic, wanting to exercise, wanting to eat the right foods.
And they don't even advertise it as weight loss. I want to challenge our radio listeners to go to InfoWarsTeam.com. Sign up as a distributor and get wholesale pricing discounts at InfoWarsTeam.com.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
Our final segment, 10 minutes or so with Artie Six Killer Clark, writing a book about encounters with star people with Gene and Chris. Chris, you have some more questions, I gather, from our audience.
I do, and my prior question, which we forgot to ask at the top of the show about her doctoral dissertation, and this is from Jimmy H., and he asked, since you're an academic, he imagines you've been schooled in how to present a solid argument based on scholarly research methods. In your opinion, when it comes to the paranormal and paranormal topics, is it just okay to suspend our disbelief and forgo these academic methods? In your case, I almost answered the question for you. You're saying, yes, you can. But how do we convince the scientific community and the academic community that these are viable subjects that deserve more mainstream academic attention?
I guess, you know, when I set out to write this book, I didn't set out to answer skeptics or critics. I set out to tell a story. And I did it because I was asked by some tribal women to do it. I didn't think in terms of how it would be viewed in terms of scientific evidence. I mean, if we, back when people have been hypnotized and they tell us a story, does anyone question that they are accurate or that they're just telling a story? I mean, it's really absolutely the same thing. I told the stories that people told to me, whether people want to believe it or they don't want to believe it, if they want to discount it or criticize it, I did what I set out to do, and that's it. And, you know, people can analyze it all they want. They can discount it, they can criticize it, but I told the stories as they were told to me. That's it.
And I know this is really difficult. This is really difficult territory to tread upon because you know, and I've been there. I know, boy. I was told some accounts that I really believed, and I got corroboration of these accounts. But in several cases, I was told not only by the primary witness, but by the supporting witnesses that I actually dug up, that I was not allowed to ever publicly state the details of a particular case, not even allude to the fact that it happened. And to this day, I'm really kind of bummed out, because there were some really, you know, wonderful, very believable stories that I was told. One, actually, that had some physical trace evidence involved that I absolutely been not, I haven't been allowed to run with. And, you know, I can feel that you're, in one sense, you're in the same boat that I've been in. When you're asked to honor anonymity and you agree to do that, you have handcuffs on. But I'm sure you understand, Artie, that there's going to be a lot of people out there taking pot shots saying, well, anybody can, you know, come up with a bunch of stories with anonymous sources and kind of folklorish sounding accounts. Someone mentioned to me that read your book, that it seems like every time you sit down, it's very similar. The, you know, people order coffee and then you have another coffee or you have a Coke and the accounts really seem very consistent. The details seem very consistent throughout it. Now, I've been out there. I've interviewed people, and I know what it's like. I mean, I interviewed them.
And if you go to a Native American home, the first thing they're going to ask you is, would you like a cup of coffee?
Well,
even the
let's put it this way. I have never drank as much coffee in my life as I drank the 6 hours I interviewed the head of the Department of Public Safety for the Hickory Apache. I must have been... So, I mean, I was grinding my teeth. I was wound up. I couldn't sleep for 2 days. We sat there for 6 hours drinking coffee, and I think I've had an aversion to coffee ever since then, and I'm not joking. That really was very difficult for me. So I do understand that, but understand. Hold on, Artie. You are going to have some detractors out there that are going to say, look, you know, this book is just a bunch of stories. What exactly are you trying to accomplish with putting together all these anonymously, stated stories? What is your motivation to actually release this book? Why do you think people have a need to know these stories?
I think because, number one, they are stories that are told without hypnotism, without dreaming, without channeling. Number two, I think the stories are unique and honest and forthcoming. And that's the reason I wrote the book.
You're assuming basically then these people have no motive just to tell a story. They wouldn't
go
to this father.
Well, they get no money from it. There's no advantage. They're not going to be on a speaking circuit someplace. Well, I think, you know, that some people might be motivated by money, by fame. None of that was part of what I encountered.
Now, these particular stories, do they tell them to their friends?
Sometimes. But not, it wasn't a common occurrence. Sometimes they shared them with family, and family asked them to not talk about it. Sometimes I had a couple occasions where they went to medicine men, and the medicine men said, don't talk about it. Yeah. So
they didn't listen to the doctor. They told it anyway. You're saying the medicine men told them not to tell the story.
Yeah,
I'm saying the medicine men tell these people, don't talk about this, but they did to you. So as is common among many people, when they talk to their doctors and their doctors give them some level of advice, well, they ignored that advice and they decide to tell you about what had happened to them anyway. Okay, I understand that.
Yes, they did. Because they trusted me and they knew that I would never reveal who they were.
Fair enough.
See, that was the thing that was important to them, is that they trusted their family so they could tell their family. They trusted a friend, they could tell their friend. They trusted me and they told me. So, you know. But when they meant don't talk about it, don't go public with it. Don't go out and spread the word or call up the National Enquirer or, you know, you or somebody else. You know, just keep it quiet.
What do you plan to do next? More books, more stories to tell?
Well, the one I'm working on now is about my travels in the Maya world and the stories that I was told there.
Okay.
There's a lot of stories down there, too.
Oh, yeah.
Well, have you ever been to Lombieto?
Where?
To Lombieto in Mexico, in a Zapotec?
No, I haven't. Actually, that's on my short list of places to visit, including also the Rio Beck region that's just now really becoming explored and opened up
the
new river.
Is Rio Beck. But one of the things, if you ever get to Lombieto, is one of the most interesting places you will ever visit, because they have a story down there about a man that came from the sky on a ray. And that he stood on this rock in the center of town. And then they go on to tell you that this man, he married a village woman. And he taught the people many, many things. And he was able to perform all of these miraculous things. And they had a son. And when the son married and took a wife, he stepped down from being the leader of the village, went back to the center of town, stood on this rock, and a ray from the sky came down and took him away, and he was never seen again.
Sounds just like Star Trek, boy. Beam me up, Scotty.
I cannot do that, Captain. I cannot do that.
Okay.
You can catch Chris O'Brien at OurStrangePlanet.com. You can catch us at ThePowerCast.com. Arnie Sixkiller Clark, thanks for joining us on The Powercast.
You're sure welcome.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
To have a fighting chance against cold and flu bugs, get the world's best garlic extract, Allicin Plus C. Fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi with Allicin Plus C. Scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Allicin Plus C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Allicin Plus C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Allicin Plus C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Allicin Plus C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Allicin Plus C. To order, call 855-ALLICIN. That's 855-255-4246. Or go to AllicinPlus.com, spelled A-L-L-I-C-I-N plus.com. Get Allicin Plus C from Affinity Health Products.